Good evening. It's August 16th. It's 8.02 p.m. This is the Natural Healing Call. And tonight we have Cheryl Kirby again talking about reducing age effects. So go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me back. And great pleasure to be here, everyone. It just makes me so happy to be here to talk to you about what I've learned regarding anti-aging, natural healing, growing young and not growing old. And, you know, just it's such a multifaceted, it's so multifaceted. So, and what I mean by that is, you know, I'm bringing to you, the first thing I brought was, you know, the power of the bees, healing your body and getting that ultimate peak health through the bee products, which I had mentioned was the honey and the bee pollen and the royal bee jelly and the propolis. So I touched on the simplicity of being able to fully feed your body cells, all your body cells, and every system and organ that is within our bodies, and how beautifully and perfectly that the bee products do feed our human bodies. So, but then, you know, that's just one part of anti-aging and growing younger as opposed to growing older. It's just one part of the big picture in its entirety. I've researched, and again, I go back and I thought, you know, when did this start? And I know in my 20s I met a woman who taught me all about enzymes, the plants and the vegetables and the trees and the fruits, everything that we consume. She taught me about the life force that lives inside the plants and the fruits and the vegetables and the enzymes, and that, you know, she was a vitamin lady who sold vitamins that were cold processed, and today I believe our market is probably overladen with vitamins that are heat processed, and when vitamins are heat processed, it burns out all the life force in it. So you're really not taking anything other than a synthetic component, a man-made construct of something that might give you an energetic feel for a couple hours or maybe a day. But it's nothing that is long-lasting. It's nothing that really feeds your body cells. Because as I mentioned in the second or third show, I was talking about the products that were found to not have the actual DNA of the of what they claim that the supplements, health supplements, but they didn't carry any of the DNA that they the claims that were on the bottle. So it seems to me that a big percentage of the industry is peddling empty stuff. It's empty. It doesn't do anything for you other than drain your pocketbook. So I always knew about the life force in the fruits and vegetables, but I understood that vitamins, you know, I just was never really into vitamins, and I finally, after all these years, started taking the bee products. And it was evident to me in how I changed. It was evident to me in the people that were taking the bee products, how they changed, how they became more youthful and happier. Because when you're healthier, you're happier. It's just, that's kind of a no-brainer, you know, when you're feeling really great. You're happier, you know, you can do more in your life. And but again, it's a huge multi-part system. It's not just about feeding your body cells and being healthy in your body, right? So last time when I spoke, I was talking about the external energy field I was talking about the external immune system and how it's all in connection with the internal immune system. And how important is the immune system? Well, we all know how important it is. So we have to protect those things. So as multifaceted as this, the message that I won't need to deliver in its completeness is multifaceted. So it'll be like multi-segments to get the whole system out there in its entirety. But so some of the most important thing, like I mentioned last time, you could be the healthiest, one of the healthiest people on the block. You could be taking, the B products. You could be drinking purified water, eating really healthy food, at the gym every other day, hanging out with good, happy people. It could really look from the outside that you have a life by the tail, tiger by the tail, But in reality, healing and getting there to where you're fully naturally healed is more than just physically getting your body healed and your body cells and, just getting yourself, losing weight. There's more to it than that. And last time I spoke about forgiveness. So those of you who might have been there on that show when I spoke about forgiveness, that is one of the components, but there's more components than the forgiveness thing. But I think some of you, you understood what that meant, what I was trying to get across, which was, boy, if we keep carrying the baggage around with us, that's toxic baggage. And if we continue to carry the toxic baggage with us, because the toxic baggage, it actually has a really foul aroma. It smells. And not only does it smell for us, but the people around us, the people that we connect with, that we meet every day, that, whether we're on our jobs or just going out to go grocery shopping or out to an event, whatever the case is. I think that baggage, the stuff that I was talking about where...
It looks like we lost Cheryl here.
Did you? No, you didn't lose me. I'm here. Are you there? Jan.
I can hear you, Cheryl.
Can you hear?
Jan, I think you need to mute your phone. And then she'll come in clearer for us, too. Louder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's Jan that he needs to mute his phone.
Okay. You let me know when it's okay.
Well, I hear you now.
Okay. Well, just go ahead and break in if you're not hearing me, technology, right, at its finest. So what we were saying was, the last time I spoke, we were talking about forgiveness. Now, I do remember that lady's voice because I did have the opportunity to go back and listen to that show. Because this is all very new to me. I'm just now coming out with, a lot of years of preparation, figuring this stuff out, how I'm going to help the American family. Because to me, I want to take the tiger by the tail for me is the American family. Because in this whole idea of natural healing, anti-aging, growing younger, not older, really getting the maximum experience out of life, being able to understand these things that happen to us all the time, that I think that this life, this experience called life, will constantly throw things at us. And it's okay that it does, because I've realized that the things that it keeps throwing at us are the test. And depending on how we react to these things that happen to us, the events, the people, the situations, and how we work through them, and how we... how we're associating and communicating with that person that is the adversary, the thing that's coming, the thing that's rubbing us the wrong way, the thing that the test that we're supposed to learn. I find that when we look at these events that keep happening to us, and they'll always happen. We're, these events will never stop. Even those of us who have this humongous protection from God, they still, life is not going to, it's still good, things will happen. But depending on how we communicate with that person and how we find the lesson, because I'm finding that all these things that happen to us, and as horrific as they are, there's learning lessons there. And when we learn what those lessons are that we're supposed to learn, that's when we evolve to higher consciousness, especially when we are, when we're stepping up and standing up in the right manner in which, as humans, we're supposed to. As humans, a lot of our ancestors did. And I think we got to go back to a lot of our old ancestors' ways and thoughts and even living. And when we do, we're going to connect into everything that they had to learn and everything that they had to implement in their lives and in all the situations that came across them, because they certainly were under attack constantly too. You could go back 150 years and look at our ancestors. It was no cakewalk for them either, I wouldn't imagine. So while I think things like, you know, that forgiveness is paramount, but there's more. There's, you know, things like the attitude, right? So attitude, I'd like to speak just briefly on this attitude thing, because attitude is really, it's almost as powerful as the forgiveness thing. And so the power of a positive attitude in a relation to natural healing plays a part. It absolutely does, and we can't really deny it. The positive thinking, it can help you heal. It can really help you heal. And as an example, you take two people that have been diagnosed with cancer, both stage three, and they're both going through chemo. One guy's saying, I'm going to get through this thing, and I'm going to beat it. I'm going to attack this thing. I'm going to cut that cord, and it no longer, this cancer, will it have a hold on me. I'm going to take over power on this thing right now. I'm going to meet it face-to-face, and I'm going to smile at it, laugh at it, and tell it it ain't big enough to take me down. I've known people who have chased cancer out of their life just with that attitude. And then you'll have somebody who's laying down sick, who's same sickness as the guy who has the power in his mind to work it and to cut that cord and release himself from that. The other person will fester on that ailment and actually see themselves dying. They'll see and imagine that illness and that sickness progressing. They'll literally manifest it. And we have to be careful of what we say. Words are so powerful. And how we think, right? The thoughts that are in our mind and the words that we speak, I believe, become another layer of our soul. And I know this will be hard for some people to understand, but I think our soul is layer, has many, many, many layers on it. And it's layered by the things that we see. It's layered by the things that we speak and the things we take into our ears that come into our brains and become a part of our thinking and become a layer of our soul. I believe that. And quite often, there are many people who have that understanding and that bit of knowledge to know how to ask for those layers, those dirty, filthy, dark, demonic, ugly memories and layers to be removed from your soul. And they can be, by the way, simply, and we'll talk on that in future meetings, but the power of the attitude. So if you have a really positive attitude, or if you have a fatalistic attitude, you know, you're either being destructive to yourself, but, you know, you're either your own best friend in this thing called life, or you're going to be your own worst enemy. Some people now, if they're really serious about natural healing, I mean, they're really serious about, you know, I don't want to grow old and be decrepit. I'm, you know, 60 years old, or you might say you're 70, or you might say I'm 81. It's too late for me. Well, I'd say, well, you know, yeah, you just spoke it out. You put those words out into the universe. Guess what? You just claimed that it's too late for you. Now you get to go pick it up and own it, because that's what you called out for. So I would say we need to really be thoughtful and extremely conscious of every little thing that triggers us as it's triggering us during the day, especially those of us who are constantly seeing stuff in our research. Always remember to have good thoughts, right? Always keep your thoughts pure and consult your heart. You know what I mean? I would say that people always say, well, let me consult my mind. Let me think about it. I would say, no, I wouldn't. I've learned, too, that just when we have situations that come up on us real quick, and let's say it's negative, you know. If we're having a positive, happy situation, it's all good, right? But when something comes up on us really quick, and man, it just catches us off guard, and it's like, whoa, you had no idea this was going to end up your day this, and you have to deal with this particular matter on your plate now. And so instantly, folks, by nature, a lot of us, I don't know if we've been trained or brainwashed to think this way, but a lot of us will quickly want to go into fixing it or thinking about how we got to fix it or we got to deal with it right now. And quite often, we're running high on emotions. Emotionally, we're too amplified. The volume's too high on the emotions. So I'm thinking that it's better to sit down and just really quiet yourself. And when I say you need to smile, man, I'm going to tell you that energy, the power of peaceful, happy energy and joy, like, okay, man, I'm not going to let this thing grab me like this. So the way that you release that tentacle, as I mentioned before, is you just have to look at it face to face and go, like I said, you got to make friends with it. You just have to. I've made friends with things that were horrific. I thought I could never make friends with it. But I somehow knew. Are you there, Terry? Hello? He's trying to mute me.
I hear you.
You're not muted.
I was hearing a beeping noise, so I was like, what's going on? I didn't know what the beeping noise meant. Thanks. Is that Jan? Thanks for coming back on, Jan. So getting back to that, I hope I didn't lose my train of thought, but what I'm saying is when you sit down and you're completely triggered on something that just shakes your whole world, you got to sit down and just be quiet for a minute and then get yourself, everybody can smile. It's a muscle, for goodness sakes. As much easy as you can raise your arm, you could smile. So I highly suggest that you smile, because it changes the atmosphere really quick. And when you change the atmosphere from anger, confusion, and tension and stress and all these vile emotions, when you get rid of that, because as I mentioned, that's really destructive, harmful energy, and you're never going to be able to beautifully and perfectly fix that situation, I don't think, unless you're coming from a peaceful, pleasant, just relax, take the time. See, people are too quick with everything, and we need to sit down and confer with our heart. Because when we operate from our heart, which is usually love and compassion and good things, we'll always, I think, make the better decision. So when we confer with our heart and then consult our mind afterwards, double check it, right? Then I think we'll always have a better outcome. Regarding the heart. But may I go into one whole segment regarding the heart and operating from the heart. But I must say that these bags that we all carry around, hey, I might even have a bag or two on me, you know what I mean? But I certainly was a caravan I had many, many caravans holding my bags, you know. But I got them down to like just maybe one or two now, so I'm doing really good. But I find that when we all are struggling, we're just struggling to get by every day, and we want to do what's right by our family and ourselves. Because if we don't, doing right by ourselves is paramount. Because if we're not doing good, then our families aren't going to be doing good. But we also have to remember that as well as we have to have our own backs and make sure we're strong and good and we're on target and doing what we need to do so we can reach that thing called a destiny. And that's really what humans need to do, is get rid of all the baggage, operate from love and compassion and harmony, get yourself healthy, in my opinion, through the B products, and really just break down to simpler ways of living. You know, I think that in everybody's house, I think we can all go through our homes and get rid of the clutter. Maybe not everybody. There might be some people who just have perfect houses with no clutter, and how wonderful that must be. But I think it starts with cleaning house. You know what I mean? I call it dry docking your family boat. And I got that from Lance Wall now, which is a really great brother, and he's pretty awesome. So I have to agree with him. I think the most strife, a lot of strife people have, is within the family unit. So I feel you just got to get your family unit healthy. You have to get everybody in unison and lockstep with each other. And what that means for a lot of American families, to get everybody naturally healthy or naturally healed, so you can go into the future, healthy, mentally, in your body, health, spirit, and your mind. Your whole family has to be a part of that. So I like the idea of dry docking the family boat. And what I mean by that is most parents are so busy, and this could be for grandparents raising your grandkids, or if you find this to be helpful information, you might want to share this with your kids because it'll be helpful to them raising their kids, which are your grandchildren. Excuse me one moment. But a lot of, I see a lot of families, and again, I've been working with people and families for decades. So I'm always interested into seeing what's holding people down. And in families today, what we have is we have mom and dads that are working two jobs. They're just working all the time, and it's all they can do just to, just to keep all the chores done and keep everybody doing what they need to be doing. But quite often, because of the social media, web, the construct of the web that we're under, they're literally destroying the fabric of the family. And that's kind of where I left off last time, but it's paramount that moms and dads are going to need to understand it, and I'm going to touch over briefly because this is one of the I want to identify the tentacles that are on the families, that are on the children, the woman, the husbands, the men, and on the kids. I want to identify for them what these tentacles are. And once they see through explanation and discovery of what I've discovered, they're going to see it real quick that these are destructive and they're dangerous, and they're tentacles that are instruments of war. And war has been waged, and there's no other way to say it, against the family and human health and a progressive future going forward so we can have liberty and a peace of mind and just a beautiful life going forward. But what I found was, taking these social media sites that our kids go to, that they're hooked on now, what we need to do is to take a break from these tools, because these are the things like they're, that what they're implementing is short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that they have created on the social media sites that are destroying how social, how society really works. Like when you can see the social deception, when you go to these sites, these media sites, there's no civil discourse. There's no cooperation with people cooperating with each other. There's tons of misinformation, mistruth. And on top of that, we got actors and actresses and politicians that now are have been manipulating huge swaths of people that they can do anything that they want these people to do, especially our kids, our young kids with their impressionable minds. And this, so what they're doing is they're capturing the youth of the next generation, which is our kids. It's our children. They even say on these social media the social media corporate people So they even know what they're doing. Their intentional goal is to exploit the vulnerability of our kids' mind on a global level. So basically, what their whole mantra is, you don't realize it, but you're being programmed. Well, what we need to do is we need to unhook our kids, take the tentacles of these social media sites, because they're destroying our children's minds. They're completely, I can see they're like re-educating our kids into fascism, because socialism to me is fascism. Socialism has nowhere to go but fascism. And this is what's happening. So what we need to do is we need to get the moms and dads educated enough to a point where they could recognize what's happening to their kids. Because when they realize what's happening to their kids and how these social media sites and these tools and cell phones and tablets and things are literally changing their kids' hearts and minds, away from the family, away from the unity, away from thinking they're a citizen of the United States. They're like teaching our kids they're a global citizen. Well, that's ironic to me, and it's stupidity. You know, they're citizens of the United States, and we're not raising little boys to be little girls, and we're not raising little girls to be little boys. And they need to leave our kids alone and stick to teaching our kids arithmetic, math, and reading. But So I think we have a lot of work to do within the family, and I think as an individual, one person who really wants to, if you're a single person, you don't have a family, that's great. You just have to worry about yourself. But I think anybody who has a family and you're connected in a family, you're part of a family, then I don't see how you couldn't want to bring up your whole family along with you as you're learning about what it is to be natural healing and to keep yourself healthy and away from all these systems which are changing the very fabric of our society. You know, we can make that change, and it starts within each family, I think. So when parents start identifying things like what's in the house that is negative and that pulls our family down. Well, I think parents need to understand, and they will, because they'll very clearly understand if American families, moms and dads, are ready to receive this now, that the music industry and the movie industry and the gaming industry is our worst enemy. And we need to get our kids. We need to go back to the old times when the moms and dads are in charge of the families. We need to get the moms and dads to sit down with the kids, and I'm saying 18 years and under, 17 years. If you're living under our roof, you're going to abide by our family rules. We need to go back to that, because a 15, 16-year-old kid still, in my opinion, doesn't really have a clue. His or her mind isn't fully developed. I won't say that we don't have intelligent, genius, brilliant, amazing kids in our society in America. You bet. They're brilliant and they're sharp. But it doesn't mean they know everything. They've only been on the planet 15, 16 years. There's a lot they need to learn. And it's up to us, their moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, to teach them, to make them understand. It's our responsibility that if the schools are trying to teach them socialism, we have to explain to them that liberalism and socialism and fascism is not their friend. And we need to teach them what it is that we hold to be true in each of our families, whatever it is that your belief system is. You need to pound that into your kids, because if you don't, the world will. And you don't want what the world's trying to pound in your kids. So we need to go back to taking charge of our families. We really do. And so I think when parents, and I want to just give you an example. So I work with families, and usually they're kind of broken families, and they're single mothers, and they'll bring their children. I have them come over, and when I work with kids, and these kids are usually 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Sometimes they're 14, 16. It just varies, you know. But what happens is these kids, they're anesthetized. It's like you say boo, and they shake, you know what I mean? They've been through a lot, these kids. So quite often I'll bring them, you know, the mom, they come in, we go into the recording studio because we're all about art. We're artists here. We do draw, you know, we do paintings, artwork. We're, you know, we have a recording studio, every musician, instrument and stuff. So what I'll do when a family comes over that's severely broken, I bring the kids in the recording studio because they always want to do something, whether it's pluck on a guitar or hit on a keyboard or sing. And so I'll bring them in, and they'll go ahead and do it, and I'll ask them, what song do you want to sing? Because I'll get the karaoke version, and then I'll put it in the board, and then they're singing it. So what was happening was I was noticing that these kids were picking these songs that had dark, demonic content in it. And they were self-deprivating. It was just these songs. You know, it's a modern-day mainstream music, and a lot of it's very demonic. And self-hatred music, you know. So I would tell these women, which would be their grandmas for the most case, and then some of the moms. But a lot of times the grandmas would bring the kids over, but because their daughters would be in prison or jail or something like that. So I would pull the mom or the grandma over and print out the lyrics and show the lyrics to the mom or the grandma and say, this is what your child's singing. Is this what you want in your child's head? This is what you want your child to grow up on and feed on? And they were shocked and despondent when they realized the stuff that had been going into their children's mind day in, day out, day in, day out. They're constantly being fed really what it is. It's Satan's culture, and we have to get real about it, and we have to admit it because it's well-studied, and it's not even open for debate or a topic for discussion. We know what the music industry is. We know what the movie industry is, and we need to save our children from that. So what I would tell the women is this. I'd say, you know what? There's a lot of great artists out there, positive, upbeat artists. From this point going forward, you need to talk to your children or your grandchildren and tell them this. There's a little thing called history on the computer, on the cell phones. You can check their history. I would tell your children, you're allowed to go to these sites and this site, and you're allowed to go do research and homework for school. Yes, yes, yes. But if I find out that you've been to really horrible sites listening to horrible, icky, dark, demonic, horrible music, I'm going to take your cell phone away from you. And really, I believe that's what we need to do, because they don't know how to save themselves. They're just little spiders walking in a trap. They're little turtles who are trying to get to the sea, and they can't get to sea because the vultures in the air, once they're out there floating around looking in the world and trying to get a grasp of who they are, what the world is, and getting a grasp on what their place is in the world. These are children. It's our responsibility to make sure what's going in our children's minds, in their eyes, ears, is good. It's good, and it feeds the family. Because if you allow all this dark, demonic stuff that they're trying to get into our kids, it's going to come back and bite you. It just does. And as I was raising my daughter, I had many girlfriends with kids, and the girlfriends that spent the time with their children, monitoring their children, doing many activities with their children, making sure that whatever their experiences were, that we knew what they were. And many times that meant we had to be the house mom. And it meant all the kids in the neighborhood had to come to our house. But to protect our children, we'd go to great lengths in order to do that. And I think we need to go back there again and go to great lengths to protect our children. Because if we don't, that, you know, the spirit of evil and darkness and horrible, horrible, horrible stuff is right there. It's just... it's got our kids, and we have to release them from it. And what better way to do it is just to stand up and make them the most important thing in the family, because they are. Because the parents who don't take the time today to take that time with their children, to make sure that those children are being raised and reared perfectly, I mean, that they're being groomed for beauty, groomed for success, groomed so that they can run their destiny, so they can even make it to a thing called destiny. We have to take over. We can do that. These are our homes. Nobody can come into our homes. That's one place we do as Americans have the power in our families. So I suggest we step up, stand up, and take that power back in our families. And because the ones who do are going to have a much more beautiful experience when those kids hit 19, 20, and in their 20s, and in their 30s and 40s. And that's all been part of my human research, too, with families, is watching how the parents, what certain parents do with their children and how they guard them, and how other parents just let their children run free, loosey-goosey. It affects the whole family. And one person alone, you can naturally heal yourself in a family, but if your family's a mess and nobody's, you know, and it's falling apart, I just don't know how you could ever really feel good about your life when the people around you that you love, that depend on you, that you depend on, they're your family. How could you not make sure that everybody's doing fine in your family? And even reaching out to your children's friends. Now that's powerful right there. We have to start taking care of each other. And when we see our children's friends suffering, you know, just give them a minute. Let's let them sit down and ask us questions. Because quite often our children's friends, if they respect us and care about us, they'll ask us, "Hey, Mr. Smith, I want to ask you a question. You know, tell me what you think about life." You know, kids want to know. Our children are looking for answers just like we are. So I think we need to step up and find the answers and give our children the answers. So it's paramount. I don't mean to drone on about the family, but I don't see us as individuals. I see us as a unit of a family. And I just see families that do really, really well. And they have such a beautiful experience going through life. And their life really is a joy and a pleasure because they spent the time loving on each other and hanging out with each other and doing things together as a family. We only have a certain window of opportunity that we get that we can play with our children and put everything in them that we need to put in them to fill their toolbox with tools, so that when they go out into the world, that they're well-positioned to not just do one career, two careers, or three careers, so that we know that we raised them so well that we know they're going to do okay, that no matter whatever life puts at them, they're going to be victorious against it. And I think that's the best thing we can do to serve our children, is to raise them in a way where they love themselves, they are raised and bathed in love and acceptance. And you know, again, you know, we have to stop judging each other. I've never, that spirit of judgment in our country has been multiplied and in depths that I can't even, that cannot even be measured. And we can thank the media for that, and we can thank a whole lot of people for doing that, for changing the hearts and minds of our people by trying to turn us against each other. Well, the good news is I find that when I talk to people, and I talk to people all day long, every day, 20 years, even going longer back 20 years, but because I love people so much, I just love them. Since I could remember, since I was a little girl, I was curious by people. I was fascinated by people. I really was fascinated and very curious. I would ask questions, and I just wanted to know about people. Because somehow, I know we got to get back to communicating with each other, because it's going to help us all heal. And natural healing, again, it's a multifaceted thing. And we all need to get back to the table. And we need to just be able to talk to each other in a spirit of knowing that we all have something to bring to the table. And we do. Every one of us can learn from each other. And we need to stop going to the table with a family member or a friend or a business associate and trying to teach them something that we think they've got to know. That's got to stop, because it's taking over the conversation, manipulating the conversation, and it's not sharing the conversation. And it doesn't make the other person feel any good either, because we all have something to say. And I think that we all need to be fair and equal with an open heart, really open heart, and just start realizing that we can learn something from everybody, everybody. And we need to learn from each other, because now we've been kind of separated from each other and all this social media stuff, and people don't get together in real time anymore in front of each other, and a lot of people don't make phone calls anymore to each other. Friends that are 30, 40, 50-year-old friends, we don't talk to each other as much as we used to anymore. And we need to get back to that. Because I'll tell you, I can hear and feel the vibration and this whole feeling of people are dying to talk with one another. People are dying to laugh with each other and just be a part of each other's lives. And people want other people to care about them, to care about what they're doing in their life, and for people to care about, you know, that person back, just to equal communication, share back and forth of love and concern for each other, because we need to start being concerned for each other. Man, I'm watching people now, and they're holding such pain and such grief and so many negative things about human emotions that we all just have, and they're holding on to it. And they don't know how to get rid of it. And, of course, in these shows, I'm going to show folks how to get rid of it, you know, because it starts by getting rid of all those baggages. and there's a lot of ways to do that. So I think we're getting close to the end of the hour. And what I'd like to do real quickly, there was a lot of stuff I wanted to go over tonight. I didn't even get to touch on it. But you know, it'll be for future shows. Right now, real quickly, I want to give everybody the 800 number so people can go buy some honey. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, maybe you could just buy some honey to start. I know that replacing the honey with the sugar is going to help you a lot. You can start drinking honey water. Man, you're going to have a lot of energy, and we all need more energy. So I'm going to quickly, for those of you who want it, the eight, The place I get my bee products from is Glory Bee Incorporated out of Eugene, Oregon. Their telephone number is 1-800-456-7923. I would recommend that you buy the honey. And it's product number 12382. Oh, wait a minute. That's the fresh royal jelly. That's product number 12382. That's the royal jelly. But the honey is product number 17563. That's the honey. The bee pollen, you guys, that's great for energy, too. Bee pollen is product number 16124. Call the 800 number and order it online. It makes it real easy. And, again, it was a great joy and a pleasure to be able to speak to you all tonight. God bless you all.
Okay, I had a couple things I'd like to mention that Cheryl almost touched on. One of them is affirmations. Probably 8-10 years ago now, I ran across a Russian article, and unfortunately I didn't make a copy of it, where they had researched the effect, basically, of talking to yourself. Now, you can do that out loud or in your mind, and you can do it in, I guess, any language you choose, and your body understands what you're trying to tell it. So if you have a issue that you're working on, you can talk to your body and tell it what you want done. Now, this one of the early reports on this was done by a doctor during the Second World War. I believe he was a surgeon. And during wartime, you have a tremendous number of injured people, so you have a good broad base to compare different doctors' healing rates and time to recover from surgeries and all that sort of thing. And what this doctor did was extremely simple. All he did was say, every day in every way, I'm getting better and better. And I may be paraphrasing a bit there. And he told his patients that, and they would repeat it. And the healing rate on his patients, the recovery rate, was much less than for any other of the staff doctors on call there. So it was more or less proven to be beneficial. A second thing that Cheryl mentioned is love. Now, I'm working with people for 20 years for healing. Anybody that came in with a major illness had a self-love issue. It was just uniform. Everybody did. So one of the first things you have to do is teach them to love themselves. Love is an energy. It's an extremely powerful energy. And it is extremely healing. So if you can teach people to love themselves, they can heal themselves much, much more rapidly. A couple other things. I update things on the website. John has moved things around again. The Natural Healing Call is now under members. If you haven't been able to find it recently, it's now under the members category in a blue banner. And I occasionally add new things. I ran across an article there that talks about the effect of the radiation from Fukushima that's made its way all the way across the Pacific Ocean onto our shores. And they have some rather, I don't know what to call them, disgusting or horrifying pictures of salmon, for example, that are being subjected to this radioactive material. And makes one think about whether or not you should continue to eat fish from the West Coast. Now, you might want to take a read through that. I put that on the, it's below the schedule on the Natural Healing page. The schedule is listed there so you can see what we're going to talk about next week, what a week after, and so on. Next week, we're going to have Dave Johnson, and he's going to talk about energy healing. So we'll learn a little more about energies and their effects, different kinds of energies. And with that, does anyone else have any questions for Cheryl tonight before we close down and go to the next caller? Going once. Going twice.
Jan, just a quick point on your iodine suggestion. Yeah, iodine is very extremely important. Is it anyone familiar with InfoWars products at InfoWars Life? They have a nascent iodine supplement that is extremely pure, and it's 2,500% daily value in three drops. I've been taking that for a long time, and it really helps to clean up and decalcify my pineal gland and so forth. So I keep a stock of that in case of radiological disaster. I bet it would be a much more direct and effective means of packing the thyroid with iodine over top of the iodine tablets. The only problem, I just don't know how long it would be lasting on shelf life, probably not past a couple of years. So potassium iodide tablets would probably be very important as well to get into the 10 and 20 year range.
All right. There is another product that Edgar Casey had developed or developed. It's sold by the Heritage Store. It's called Atomidine. It's quite reasonable. One drop a day is all you need to take, and it has a shelf life of like 10 years. And I would highly recommend that as well. But you're absolutely right. If we have a problem with radiation, you better have your thyroid stuff full of iodine. Otherwise, it's going to collect the radioisotopes going by, and that's not good in your thyroid. Thanks for that. Any other questions before we sign off? Okay, I'm going to turn off the